Good to meet you, Abby.
Nice to meet you too. So you're in Sydney now, correct?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. How long ago did you make the move there?
1996. That was a long
Oh,
time
okay.
ago.
Yeah. Can you just tell me a little bit about your musical journey and your background?
I was born in Papua New Guinea and raised in Papua New Guinea, spent my first 15 years there. And so my background is, coming from Papua New Guinea. My parents were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. My dad ran a Bible college there in Wiwak in the Esipi province. And so I pretty much grew up in Bible college. And the students, pretty much every afternoon, would just get together and worship God. And I just found myself drawn to that. And so, yeah, so from a young age, I'd just be hanging out with them and probably started playing ukulele around age 12, and I just, get it out and just play with them and play along, and then guitar, start to pick up the guitar and start to learn from them. So yeah, really, that's my background. I did that for first few years.
As much as you want.
Our last year in Papua New Guinea, which was 1986, I think, we were in Port Moresby, and that's where I was exposed to. We were part of a church that had drums, like drums and bass and keyboard, and so that's where I was exposed to all these other instruments and started to learn them and started to play bass and different things like that. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then coming to Australia, moved to Townsville. We moved straight to Townsville, where my dad was principal of the Bible College at Calvary. And so he did that for quite a few years. And I got involved with the worship team there while I was in high school, and then did a degree in music as well in Townsville.
Okay. I think it's interesting. We talked about this a little bit, but because I'm surrounded literally by Papua New Guineans, our morning announcer, he actually is the worship leader here in YWAM. And I am part of worship as well, but it wasn't until I went to Papua New Guinea and I'm surrounded by these people who literally, like, that's their culture is to sing and worship and celebrate. I did not know how, not to like put myself down, but like untalented I was compared to their talent. But it really is like it's ingrained in who they are. So
Yes.
it's just so beautiful. When did music become this thing of, this is where I'm at, and this is what they do, and I want to do it as well, to this is who I want to be as well, and what I want my future to be like.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if there was an actual moment. I think looking back now, there might be things I could trace, in very early. I remember my brother playing the ukulele, and I was very young. I think it was like I was age 9 or 10 or something. And I remember thinking in my mind, that shouldn't be him, that should be me. And so, yeah, I don't know whether it was just me trying to be better than him or something. I started to learn it. I don't know. That might have been it. But from that early age, I was just more interested in music, I think. And the more I did it, the more I loved it. And then after high school, it just felt natural to try and move in that direction. I played guitar, and I thought that would be, the thing I did. So I did degree of music there in Townsville. And I think from that age, I probably wanted to try and do music full time as a job. Yeah, it wasn't sort of years, I suppose years later, where I started working for our church here at Hillsong in the creative ministries.
Now, what has that been like for you? Because you've been doing this for a while then, but what was that transition working and creating alongside Hillsong? And there's so many amazing artists that come out of Hillsong, singers, songwriters, producers. What's that journey alone been like for you?
Yeah, it's been a journey of being surprised by God, really, because yeah, I grew up beside of a village in Papua New Guinea, and so coming to Sydney, I didn't even plan to get involved with the church music here. I just came for to do Bible college many years ago. And last minute, I thought I wasn't even going to bring my guitar. Last minute, I threw it in the car because I thought, in case I don't get a job, maybe I can make some money. And so that's the only reason I brought my guitar. But while I was here doing Bible college, I just, yeah, I got to know some people in the worship team. And Reuben Morgan was heading up the youth in those days. And he said to me one day, can you play at youth this Friday night? And I'm like, you haven't even heard me play the guitar. Nobody's heard me play. And he's like, no, just bring your guitar and just do it. So I went along, and that's pretty much how it was in those early days, just very grassroots and raw and organic. And yeah, so I started playing there, and yeah, just got to know the team here and loved it and got involved from there. Yeah, I never thought I'd be, kind of doing that thing in that scale, I suppose. But yeah, it's just surprising where God puts you and takes you.
Do you think
Yeah.
that the amount of time that you were able to spend in Papua New Guinea has made you the artist that you are today, or even has it influenced your style of music a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think the style, yeah, just growing up in Papua New Guinea, those early days of singing with just groups of people, songs that you could just, you didn't need the lyrics, you didn't need to look at the lyrics, you just knew it. So the songs were simple enough to sing, to know the lyrics and sing, and the melodies were suited to group singing. So I think that's really what I'm trying to do when I write praise and worship songs, is to be writing songs that are that sort of flavor. Yeah.
Now, what is the writing process like for you? Because that's what you do the most of, correct? Is writing music?
Yeah. I love playing the guitar, and that's at the moment primarily how I'm involved in our church, playing the guitar. But really my passion is writing, and I've done that for many years and just enjoyed it more and more over the years. Yeah, so my process for writing has changed over the years. I think in the early years it was very, I really didn't know what I was doing, and I still don't. But I really didn't know what I was doing, and so it was more about going with the flow, getting an idea melodically and moving from there, which was great. And I've done that for many, that style of writing for many years. About 10 years ago, I changed how I was writing, and I started to write lyrics first because melody comes more naturally to me. But I started to write lyrics first, and it helped me a lot because then I was more thinking about what I wanted to say, how I wanted to shape the lyrics. And if I had lyrics written out, something that I'd worked on for a while, it just made it a lot easier when I got the guitar out and started singing. It would flow a lot easier. So these days, that's what I'm doing, is I'm writing lyrics first. I just find that it's a lot easier for me, and it makes it so that the lyrics are a little bit more pointed and more built around a theme. Yeah, lyrics kind of end up better, I think, when I do it that way. Yes, it's already out. It's been out for about 2, 3 weeks, 3 weeks now. It's called The Glory of the Cross. It's on all the streaming platforms. You can even find it on YouTube.
Amazing.
And so for Papua New Guineans who might be listening, you could let your friends know in Papua New Guinea that's on YouTube. Yeah, but I'm excited to have this first song out. It's called The Glory of the Cross. Really, it's about the cross, obviously. And I'd encourage you to listen to it, particularly on the lead up to Easter, because that's really what it's all about, what's happening on Easter Friday.
This is your debut single, The Glory of the Cross. I want to talk to you in a second here about what it was like stepping out, or what it's like. I guess it's something you're going through now as a solo artist, essentially. But is there a reason that you chose to do an Easter song as your debut single?
I'll tell you just a quick background of why I started this. in the middle of the COVID lockdown, or when it first started, I've always had a heart for Papua New Guinea, and I was kind of thinking, what can I do, right? And I thought, well, I could write songs, and so that's what I started to do. I started to write songs in the local language, Tokbisin, of Papua New Guinea, songs for churches there, and I started doing that. I put a couple on YouTube, and so I've been working on that project for a while, and I've got those songs ready. It's a whole album, and I've been working on that for a while. But then after a while, I kind of thought, what am I going to do with the English songs that I've been writing? And so at that point, I thought, well, maybe that's what I should release first, is the English songs I've been working on. So I started to do that, and then it got really overwhelming because, like, I'm doing two projects on top of full-time work, you know. And I thought, I'll never get this done if I'm trying to do this. So I reached out to a friend who is in the US, who was a student here at Hillsong College a few years ago, Nick Guptill. And I reached out to him and said, could you produce this album for me? So he said yes. So he's been producing this album. And the idea is that I'm going to release this first, this whole album, well, songs probably one at a time at the moment, and then maybe next year do the PNG album. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the process of the Glory of the Cross specifically?
Yeah, sure. This is the song I've spent most time with, probably way too long. My job here at Hillsong College is primarily to teach songwriting. That's the main thing I teach, and I've been doing it for many years. So I wouldn't suggest this to my students, is to keep writing. This is the song I've kept writing. It's probably had 10 completely different versions, which is not how to write a song. But really, yeah, it's I've worked on it for a long time. It's morphed into different versions over the years, but kind of landed on this thing of the glory of the cross. It was always about the cross, but in the end, I thought, you know, to kind of shift the chorus and to make it all about the cross, and particularly about the glory of the cross. You know, we're heading up to Easter. Often we think about Easter in terms of resurrection. That's our focus, the resurrection of Christ, which is the, you know, a great focus. But I think sometimes we lose sight of the cross, and I think that needs to be our main focus, is the cross all the time, because of what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. If we read through the New Testament, Paul's often saying things like, "I boast in the cross," or the foolishness of the cross. The world thinks it's foolish, you know, that Christ would die on the cross. But really, that is the wisdom of God, was that he would make this thing the central thing of our faith, is what Christ accomplished on the cross. It's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable for us to think about the cross. And I think that's why there's power in us thinking about the cross and focusing on the cross as the main thing in Christianity. We want to look past it to the resurrection. Yes, of course, that, you know, Christ died and was raised again. But I think sometimes as Christians, we want to look past the cross too quickly. And for this song, I really wanted to bring the focus back to the cross and to specifically say there's glory in the cross. Yeah. In the chorus, it says, the glory of the cross, the cost of his forgiveness lifted high for all to see, the glory of the cross of Calvary. Because, yeah, in John, when Jesus is talking, you know, in the last few chapters of John, and really this whole second half of John is all about the cross, which is amazing. You think about, you know, half of a book is on his last week. And Jesus said, when I am lifted high, I will draw all men to myself. And the next verse it says, when he said, you know, I'll be lifted high, he was talking about the cross. And so, yeah, so I think it's, it's the focus of the New Testament and it's the focus of Christianity.
Veering a little bit off topic from that your specific song, in light of Easter, I just wanted to know if there was any Easter message you wanted to give to listeners, a challenge, piece of advice, encouragement, whatever it is. Yeah, to just go along with the song, I guess.
Yeah, great. I think you're right. You mentioned that our holiday season really is focused around Christmas. Obviously, it's the end of the year, but Christmas also the presents. There's just so much joy. And when we get to Easter, Good Friday really just reminds us about what God has done for us, what Jesus has done for us, and it's hard, right? It's hard on our heart to think about that. But that's good for us. I think it's so good for us to think about, and to be overwhelmed by the thought of how much Christ loves us. And then obviously he didn't just die, he was raised again. So there's a celebration. I think there's a celebration in the cross and there's a celebration in the resurrection. Yeah. When we moved to Australia after coming from Papua New Guinea, there was a period of time where I just went through such a hard time of, I was in culture shock really for those first few years. And I ended up walking away from God in my teenage years, walking away from church, walking away from God. And then when I started my degree, my parents said to me, would you like to go to the youth Easter camp? Right? This is in Townsville on Magnetic Island. And I said, no. And they said, well, we've already booked you and we've paid for it. And so I ended up going, even though I didn't want to.
You didn't really have a choice at that point.
Yeah, I had some friends there, so I thought, oh, I'll go along. But do you know what? God met me there. God met me there at Easter time on Magnetic Island at a youth camp. And in the first night, it was a Tim Hall. Tim Hall came up and was such a great time. The first night, I just felt like I was sitting there, Tim Hall was preaching, and I just felt like God was speaking to me in my heart. And at the end, he did the altar call, come down if you want to rededicate your life. I knew I was going to, but I was a pastor's son. And so I kind of felt awkward. And I also thought, do you know what, God, I don't want to make this about me and everybody else. I want it to make it about me and you. So when everybody walked down the front, I actually walked out. I walked outside and I just wrestled with God. I just said, God, what about this that happened? What about, I felt like you let me down here. And honestly, it was just felt like God was speaking to me. And I just cried and cried. Yeah, my heart was transformed. And I remember walking in and everybody was down the front singing and jumping around. And I just went down there and joined them and never looked back. Yeah, God just transformed my life at that Easter. I think it was 91 or 92. Yeah, God transformed my life. So yeah, I want to encourage people, think about what Christ has done for you and let it cause your heart to turn to Christ.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. Congratulations on your single being out. We're really excited to be able to play it and play this interview alongside it.
Oh, great. Thank you.